and the 8th chapter and the 4th verse. Acts chapter 8, verse number 4. Thank you for being here. I appreciate it tonight. Amen. I really, really appreciate your faithfulness. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Remember, Tuesday night is prayer meeting. Right after prayer meeting is preaching. Amen. My, some good preaching. We get some good preaching around here, I think. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got some preachers around here. You know, that's a good sign. Amen. We want to keep them busy, too. And we want to keep them busy. You know, we got towns all around here that don't have churches. And we got preachers. Now, that's not fair. It's not fair to have church without preachers, and we got preachers. We need to prepare them and send them and help them. Amen. Praise God. Is that all right? I said, is that all right? Is that all right? Amen. Can we do that? Is that okay? Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so we're preaching tonight about we are the revival. I said, we are the revival. I said, we are the revival. Amen. Acts chapter 8, verse 4, therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere, preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Our unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. They were having revival. Amen. I don't know about you, but we're having revival around here. Amen. Praise God. I just said we are. If you're looking for revival and you can't see it, you're blind. If you're listening for revival and you can't hear it, you're deaf. Amen. Because I'm telling you, revival is not coming. Revival is already here. Praise God. Somebody said, I can't feel it. Get your feeler fixed. Amen. Revival is already here because we are the revival. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Daniel Gilpin said we shouldn't ask God to send a revival. Instead, we need to realize that we are the revival God has sent. Hallelujah. You know what? When you go to your job tomorrow, you need to realize I'm the revival that God sent into this business. When you go back home to your neighborhood, you unlock the door to your house, you need to understand that you are the revival that God sent to that neighborhood. When you young people walk down the halls of a school tomorrow, you need to realize I am the revival that God has sent to this school. Everywhere we go, if we could get this through our head that we are the revival, we would scare the devil slap to death. Amen. Because we are the revival that God has sent into this world. What is revival? Amen. Charles G. Finney said this. He said, revival is the renewal of the first love of Christians. I think that says it very well. Revival is the renewal of the first love of Christians. When you are full of first love, it's hard to be offended. You're so in love with Jesus, nothing else matters to you. That when you're in love with Jesus Christ, the choir couldn't sound better and the preacher couldn't preach better because you're in love with Jesus Christ. Amen. You think that your brothers and sisters are the greatest folks on the face of the earth because you're so in love with Jesus Christ. There's no time to gossip about anybody. There's no time to say bad things about anybody. There's no time to get negative about everything, because you're so in love with Jesus Christ that you are a revival. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's just falling in love with Jesus all over again. When I'm in love with Jesus Christ, there's not any room for Johnny Grissom. Hallelujah. When I'm so in love with Jesus Christ, this old world doesn't mean anything to me. Hallelujah. When I get my eyes upon Him, and I get my eyes full of His glory, and all I can see is His majesty, there's nothing in this world that interests me anymore. When I'm full of Jesus Christ, I have everything that I need. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not griping about my car. I'm not griping about my house. I'm not griping about my income. I'm not griping about the outgo. I'm not worried about anything, because I'm so in love with Jesus Christ that nothing else really matters. And I'm so convinced that Jesus loves me and He's going to take care of my needs, and there's nothing impossible for my God to do. Amen. That's what happens, friend, when you're a revival. Hallelujah. Amen. When you walk into a negative situation, you bring sunshine. You bring hope. You bring peace. You bring power. Because you are a revival waiting to happen. Hallelujah. Amen. Revival is simply when you fall in love with Jesus all over again, just like you did the first time. Lamentation chapter 3, verse number 40 said, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." Everybody say, "Turn again." That simple repentance, turn again to the Lord. Turn again to the Lord. Hear me. Hear me well. If things are not right in your life, it's not the church that needs changing. It's you that needs changing. You need to fall in love with Jesus Christ all over again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's not everybody else that's messed up. It's not everybody else that's wrong. Amen. If all you can smell is the stench of Limburger cheese, clean your lip. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is that all right? I'm talking about being a revival tonight. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be a revival. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Whenever you're praying for revival, you get a hold of your heart. You're not just praying with your lips. You're not just praying with your mouth. You're not just praying out of your mind, but you're praying out of your heart. And you get a hold of your heart and you lift it up to the Lord. Hallelujah. Here I am, Jesus. Take all of me. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Jeremiah said, "We have transgressed and rebelled, and thou hast not pardoned. My eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission. Till the Lord look down and behold from heaven, mine eye affecteth mine heart, because all the daughters of my city." Amen. He said, what I'm seeing around, what I'm seeing with my eyes is affecting my heart. Amen. When I see coldness, and when I see deadness, and when I see unconcern, and I see people not stirred, and I see people that can't worship, and I see folks that are weighted down, my eye affects my heart. Amen. When I see lost souls in the city, when I see people sold under sin, when I see people in bondage to every kind of addiction, there's something in my eye and it affects my heart because I know that there's an answer. You're not going to find it on a psychiatrist's couch, and you're not going to find it in an AAA meeting, but you're going to find it the way everybody found it, at an altar of repentance. Amen. And God reaches down and breaks the shackle and sets people free, and He still wants to do it today. Amen. Revival is when your eye affects your heart. Amen. Some people hadn't got it down that far yet. Their eye affects their mouth. What they see, they want to talk about it. They want to gossip about it. Amen. They want to tell stories about it. They want to run people down with it. They want to sow discord in the body with it. They want to do everything they can to destroy what God's trying to build up. Amen. You need to get it out of your mouth and get it down in your heart. And when you get it in your heart, you lift it up to the Lord with your hands. Amen. Amen. We are the revival tonight. I said we are the revival. Hallelujah. This is all the revival that's coming. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Revival is a sovereign move of God. All the revival I've ever wanted to see was just God getting to do what He wants to. And no man getting the glory. It bothers me when people try to turn revival into some kind of a circus. Even you hear me tonight. Revival is whenever there's just as much God out there as there is up here. Revival is when you make up your mind. You don't need brother so-and-so to lay hands on you. You lift up your hands to the one that can do it without brother so-and-so. He doesn't need anybody else. He can do it all by himself if he can just get you to reach out to him. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Revival's not a feeling. Revival's not just a thrill that goes up and down your spine. It's a lot more than that. Hallelujah. Revival is just when you come in and your heart's pure. Amen. And your hands are pure. And your mind is pure. And you're so in love with Jesus Christ. You can't wait to get here and throw your hands up in the air and begin to worship Him and praise Him and let tears flow down your cheeks. Amen. And when that happens, there's no telling what God will do on your pew. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. That's all I've ever wanted to see is a kind of revival that whenever we get to worship in the Lord, somebody needs cataracts removed and Jesus just removes them. Conference a few years ago, we were just having a worship service. Amen. All of a sudden, this fellow let out it was one of those huge auditoriums, but this guy let out a shout everybody could hear. Amen. And he got to give his testimony. He said, when I got home, he said, I had some cataracts that were going to have to be removed. He said, but while I was worshiping the Lord, he said, I felt something fall and hit me on the hand. And he said, and I looked down and it had already been done. Scales had fallen off of his eyes. Hallelujah. And we had it in one of our magazines not just long after that. He went home to Florida where he lived. He went to his doctor, and his doctor said, I don't know what happened to you, sir, but your vision is 20/20, and you don't need anything. Hallelujah. And he said, hey, he said, I was in a service worshiping the Lord where there was revival. And the scales just fell off of my eyes. Amen. You heard the story of dear brother Lee Stone King in Australia, fell flat dead of a heart attack. Hauled him up to the hospital. He was dead. The doctor said he was dead. The nurses said he was dead. But prayer was made. Hallelujah. And God healed Brother Stone King. And this year at the conference, he testified again. And his doctor said, I've never seen anything like this in my entire life. He said, not only did God heal you of a heart attack, he said, but your DNA has nothing in it that can allow you to have a heart attack. He said, you may die of something, but it's not going to be a heart attack. He said, because the DNA doesn't even have it in it anymore. Amen. A revival can do that. I said, a revival can do that. Amen. That's the kind of sovereign move of God that we're looking for. Hallelujah. Amen. People come in. Amen. We don't have to take a lot of time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me just say something here. Please, don't anybody be offended by this. This is just a preference. But when we have prayer requests and you want to come down and get prayer, please come on. But give me time to pray first. Amen. I think that's one area of the service we don't need to get in a hurry about. It bothers me when we take 5 minutes to take prayer requests and 20 seconds to pray. Could I say that again? When we take 5 or 10 minutes to take prayer requests and then we mumble for about 20 minutes and call it prayer. If we're going to have it, friend, let's pray. Otherwise, it's just emotion we go through. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So when you come down for prayer, please come. But understand something. I'm going to pray first. Give me some time to pray. Amen. I don't want to just pray for one person. I want to pray for those knees on that list. I want to pray for the family that lost that little baby that a dog killed. I want to pray for the Williams family that lost their mother. I want to pray for these that have cancer. I want to pray for people who got all kinds of needs. Because I believe in prayer. I believe we got a God that heals. I believe we got a God that comforts. I believe we got a God that saves. Yes, amen. Amen. So let's don't get in any hurry when we pray. Let's pray. Like we know how to pray. Amen. You're up here leaving the service. Don't lay the microphone down and walk off. Pray. Amen. Praise. And we have to get Brother Ferguson and Brother Zano up here. These men pray. Amen. Amen. Pray when it's time to pray. Pray when it's time to. Is that all right? That's just pastoring or pestering one. Amen. But whenever, just pray when it's time to pray. Pray with faith. Pray with faith. You know what? Amen. When we pray, we really believe in God's going to do something. Is that a serious question? That's a serious question. When we have prayer requests and we're praying, we're not just doing that just because we always do. We're not doing that because it's just like one of the songs that we sing. Amen. People have asked us to pray, and they're expecting us to touch God. Amen. And God wants you to be a revival. Hallelujah. I know, Brother Hart, we've had prayers, and we've had people call after we got through praying and say, God touched me right here at home, and I'm not sick anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. When you pray, believe God's going to do something when you pray. When people come down here for prayer, let's believe that God's going to heal them when they get down here. Amen. Don't just come down and get prayer and go back. Come down discouraged, leave discouraged. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't believe we ought to come into the church house unhappy and discouraged and leave the same way. Amen. Praise God. I believe we need to come in here because this is a place of refreshing. Old timer said, I want to get under the spout where the glory comes out. Hallelujah. Amen. When heaven kisses the earth, I want to be right in the middle of the smack. Amen. That's what you need to do, friend. Make up your mind when you come to church that you're going to have church. I bet you're not going to go out of here the same way that you came in. Amen. It's okay to come discouraged. It's okay to come depressed and down. Just don't leave that way. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So revival, it's about refreshing. And revival is about a sovereign move of God. And revival is a renewal of first love. Amen. When is revival needed? When there's a lack of spiritual power. Amen. When you can't control your tongue anymore, you need a revival. When you can't control your attitude, you need a revival. When you can't control your actions, you need a revival. When your motives get mixed up, you need a revival. Amen. And there's spiritual power that can do that. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It can help you control your tongue. It can help you get your attitude right. It can help you get your actions right. It can help you get your attitude and your motives right. Revival will do all of that. Amen. Praise God. We need revival when the altars are empty and the baptismal tank is absent of souls. We need a revival then. We need a revival then. We need a revival then. Amen. Thank God they're getting better, but it's not good enough yet. Amen. We baptized some, but not enough. We've had some receive the Holy Ghost, but not enough. The Bible said, and the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. You know, there's only one way that's ever going to be fulfilled, and that's if we have church daily. Let that sink in a little bit. Amen. The Bible said the Lord added daily to the church. Now, how did he do that? Because they had church every day. Somebody said, well, I think one time a week's enough. Well, you need revival. You need revival. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You know, we try to be very respectful of people's time, but I want you to know, when you hunger for revival, when you hunger for revival, amen, it makes faith rise in your heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you want to have more, not less. Seems like I read in the scripture, amen, it said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. But we're living in a time when people are having less services. Amen. People say, well, you know, we just have one service on Sunday. Amen. I look forward to the time when we can have three or four. Amen. Praise God. I look forward to the time when we can't get everybody in the building for one service. So we have to have one service, and then have another service, and then have another service, and then have another service. Amen. Praise God. Because you can't get them all in at one time. Amen. Is that all right? I'm talking about revival here tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, we can build a bigger building, and we will build a bigger building. Amen. But I'd like to have a revival overtake us so fast we can't build it big enough fast enough. Hallelujah. That before we can get it built, it's already full. Hallelujah. Amen. Is that all right? Can that happen? Yes, that can happen. It's the will of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. If revival's needed when our hearts get cold, amen, and crowded with stuff and corrupt. I'm talking to Christians. Can Christians get stuff in their heart, get their heart too crowded? We talk about the innkeeper saying, there's no room in the inn. There are times that you and I have no time and no room for Jesus Christ. We get our hearts so full of other things that there's not any room for him. And when he comes knocking, he can't get in. Or we're too ashamed to let him. That's when we need revival. Amen. And that's okay. Amen. I'm preaching about conditions tonight, not to condemn you, but to give you some hope. If your heart's overcrowded, empty it out. If your heart's corrupt, let Jesus in. He'll cleanse it. He'll clean it. He'll make it right all over again. That's revival. We need a revival. Hallelujah. Revival comes when there's a hunger and thirst for his righteousness. One of the most powerful testimonies that I ever heard was a little lady from Russia. She found the Bible. Somebody gave her a Bible. And she got to reading the Bible. She was had a doctor's degree in education. Very educated lady. She got to reading the Bible. Nobody to teach her. You know how it was in those days, especially. It was before the fall of the wall. And she had to do everything in secret. So she was just reading the Bible. And she read in the Acts chapter 2 about the Holy Ghost coming. And she prayed and said, "Jesus, I want that Holy Ghost." And he gave it to her. She'd never heard anybody get the Holy Ghost. She didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. She just started praying hungrily, thirsting. And God baptized her with the Holy Ghost, though she didn't know a thing about it. And she wanted to be baptized. And she started seeking other Christians, wanting to be baptized. And she said, "I want to be baptized." And she'd say, "How do you baptize?" And they'd tell her. And she'd say, "No, that's not the way I want to be baptized." She said, "I want to be baptized the way they said it in the book of Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. I want to be baptized by immersion in water in the name of Jesus Christ, like they were in the book of Acts." She said, "That's the way I want to be baptized." Nobody taught her that. She just read it in the Word of God. Amen. And she finally, one day, she did interpreting. She for people that spoke English, and somebody hired her one day to interpret for a service. Amen. Turned out to be a Pentecostal church, and she got to interpreting while they were preaching. And whenever they got to the baptism part, she got so excited. She said, "That's what I've been looking for. Somebody that baptizes like the Bible said." When there's hunger, when there's hunger, when there's hunger, that's what God will do. That's what God will do. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We had a comparative religions class at Texas Bible College when we were students there. And this story can be told 1,000 times in different places and different groups. But this was just one that I know of. A guy went to his job. And there was a man there that went to a denominational church, and he said, he was from that church. He said, "Good," said, I'm doing some study here about your church." And he said, "I'd like to know how you people baptize." And the man from the denominational church said, "Well," he said, "we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ by immersion." And the Pentecostal said, "You do?" He said, "I didn't know that." He said, "I thought you baptized, with the cloth or with the sprinkling water and the titles." And he said, "We used to do that." He said, "But my pastor got to reading the Word of the Lord." And he said, "God opened his eyes and he saw baptism, amen, by immersion." And he said, "So we went down after service one night. One of the saints had a swimming pool." And he said, "My pastor rebaptized the whole congregation in Jesus' name." Amen. He said, "Well," he said, "that's good." He said, "What about the Holy Ghost? What do y'all believe?" He said, "Oh," I said, "we believe the Holy Ghost." He said, "We believe that when you get the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues." Hallelujah. Amen. He said, "My pastor got it. And he started preaching it. And he said, our whole church received it." Hey, I'm talking about a hunger tonight. That's the kind of revival that we're looking for. Amen, amen. I don't want to try to get everybody in one building and try to take care of tens of thousands of people. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's convert every church we can find. I don't care what name they got on the door. I just care about what they preach in the pulpit. I just care that there's an altar where people can repent of their sins and be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, and that they bury their sins in the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and that they follow God with a holy heart and a holy lifestyle. Amen. That's what we're after. That's revival. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Revival begins with repentance. Not excuses. Repentance. Not comparisons. Not competitions. Amen. Just old-fashioned repentance. It's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. It's not my brother or my sister, oh Lord, but it's me that needs to repent. Amen. Needs to get some things right with God. It needs to get some things straightened out in my life. Oh, I don't want to make excuses anymore. Hey, I don't want to wait anymore. I don't want to put it off anymore. I want to get it right, Jesus. Revival begins with repentance. Every time. God does not resist repentance. Amen. The Bible talks about Nineveh being such a wicked city. Such a wicked city. So wicked, the prophet said, I can't go there. They'll kill me. And he ran. But when he went, he just preached one thing, repent or perish. Yet 40 days, he said, Nineveh shall perish. He didn't even tell them to repent, did he? He didn't give them any hope. Amen. He just said, 40 days, Nineveh's going to perish. You're going to burn, buddy. That's all he preached. Simple sermon. Not very eloquent. Amen. Did not win friends nor influence, but he did influence people. The Bible said from the king to the poorest. I mean, they even put muzzles on their dogs and their cats and their cows. And they said, we're not eating and you're not eating. Maybe God will have mercy on us. And they wore sackcloth and they repented before God. And God spared a city. You talk about a revival. That was a revival. If it can happen in a place as godless as Nineveh, it can happen in Athens, Texas. It can happen in the United States of America. Amen. Praise God. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Amen. And turn from their wicked way. He said, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Amen. But it's got to be a real revival. Amen. Heaven sent, God sent revival. That's exactly what he wants to do. Let me tell you how revival begins. It starts with one. Amen. The old preacher said, he said, if you want revival, he said, you go home and you draw a big circle on the floor. You stand right in the middle of it and you say, God, I want a revival, and let it start right here in this circle. Amen. Let it start with me. Amen. Lay down your pitchfork and become a sponge. Amen. Quit feeding everybody else the word of the Lord and saying so-and-so needs that. And brother so-and-so needs that. Woo! Sister so-and-so could use that. Amen. Instead, just get it and soak everything up. Amen. Until you become so saturated and so full that every time you bump into somebody, they get full of Holy Ghost. You splash Holy Ghost everywhere you go. In the grocery store, at the gas station, on your job, you're so full of Holy Ghost, it just gets over people everywhere you go. Amen. Let it start with me. That's what happened with Philip, wasn't it? Amen. Let's look at that 8th chapter one more time. And I know that I've already preached the end of the sermon, so now I'm back at the beginning. And so I won't preach it all. I'll quit here in an hour or so. Amen. The Bible said, begin verse 1, let me go back to chapter 1, verse 8. I like that verse. Amen. You know what that one says, because you can just quote it with me. The Bible said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That was God's promise. I mean, revival had come to Jerusalem. But you know what? 5 years passed and it was still in Jerusalem. 7 years passed and it was still in Jerusalem. It wasn't going where God said for it to go. And look at verse number 1 of chapter 8. And it said, and Saul was consenting unto his death. That is Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church that was in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hunting, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Amen. Praise God. So you see, they were having revival in Jerusalem, and what about Samaria? What about the uttermost parts? So God sent a persecution right in the middle of it. Some things we blame on the devil is really God. If you're not obeying the Lord, he'll send you some trouble. Is that okay? I said, if you're not obeying God, he'll send you some trouble. Yeah, he will. Amen. Boy, he dropped a bomb right in the middle of them. Then they scattered. Then they were going every direction. Amen. And the Bible said, and Philip, amen. Philip came down to Samaria. Verse number 4, therefore, when they were scattered, went abroad everywhere. Everybody say everywhere. Everywhere, preaching the word. Hallelujah. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord. You know what will happen if you'll go? God will go with you. You know one reason churches shrivel and die? Because they don't go. Because they don't give. Because they try to keep it all in the wall. You know why the Dead Sea's dead? Doesn't have an outlet. It keeps everything that comes in, and it's dead. You know how to have revival? Knock out the walls and let it flow right on through. Amen. I said, knock out the walls and let it flow right on through. Praise. Don't try to keep everything here. Let it go. God. Amen. If God helps us, we're going to start some daughter churches. But Brother Grisham, we're not big enough. Well, if we wait till we're big enough, let's just go ahead and do it now. Amen. We got preachers. So we got preachers. We've got willing preachers. Amen. And I'm not going to let them preach up here much. And they got to preach. So let's get them some preaching places. Is that all right? Amen. I hope that's okay, because I believe that's the word of the Lord. You know, I came from a place, Brother Hart, where I saw it happen. Amen. Every church in Columbia that I know of, they had church in the home church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and maybe Wednesday night. But on Tuesday night, they would meet in somebody's house in another part of the city, and they'd be having services there. And on Thursday night, they'd meet in somebody else's house somewhere else, and they'd be having services there. And in a little while, there'd be a church over there, and there'd be a church over there. And when those churches got going, and they'd get a crowd together, and they'd have some people from another part of the city, they'd start another church over there and another church over there, and average church was growing. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. One of our pastors, Colombian pastors, came to the States, and he went to get his license, and they said, "Where do you want to start a church?" He said, "Oh, I've already started one." And he told them how many people he already had, and they said, "Well, brother, you don't do it that way. You're supposed to get permission first." We didn't know that. Because in Colombia, if you go for a license, the first thing they're going to ask you is, "How many people do you have in your church?" They want to know what you're doing before you get a license. They want you to prove your ministry first. And if you're not winning souls, they'll take them. Amen. If you're not growing, they want to know why. You know why? Because it was born in revival. And they're expecting revival. Pray, they expect everybody to have revival. Praise God. Amen, 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 amen. So Philip came down and he started preaching. Let me tell you who Philip was. This is not the apostle. This was the guy that was chosen to wait tables in the 6th chapter. You know, they were having some discussions in the church. Amen. And some people had some problems. And the apostle said, we can't quit preaching the word and studying prayer to go take care of these things. Amen. What, should I even touch that? There's some folks that if they can't get the pastor when they call, they lose their religion. Cell phones in some ways are a curse. Does anybody remember before cell phones? And you called and you just had to have patience, because people couldn't sit by the telephone all day long. And so you just had to praise through some of your problems. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. Amen. You just had to take care of some stuff. You just had to grow up a little bit. But now, boy, I get people calling and they don't get me. Amen. They get a little perturbed. They'll leave a message. "I tried to call you and just couldn't get you." "Well, I got an answering service. Just talk." Amen. When I get to, you know, sometimes I'm actually visiting a hospital and I don't want to be standing there praying for somebody, my telephone ringing. I might be in a counseling session with somebody and I don't want to say, "Hold on just a minute. Hold that thought, brother, while I talk to somebody else." To me, that's rude. It seems to me that we should have the liberty to take care of what we need to take care of. And then when I get the time, I'll call you back. Is that okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's how we have revival. But if we can keep the pastor so tied up, you know, fixing toilets and doing other stuff. Amen. Praise God. I might be able to preach one of these days if I get some time. Amen. Boy, we're really meddling here tonight, aren't we? We might as well just keep digging. Amen. Amen. But I'm very serious, folks. You know, sometimes, just please understand, I will do everything I can to get back and help you. But sometimes when you're traveling, you're in a place, your phone, you may hear it ringing, and it might even answer, but I can't even hear it where I am. And sometimes you might even leave a message, and I might not even get the message. So please, don't get upset. I'm not purposely ignoring you. Amen. Praise God. Have a little revival. Amen. If you can't get the pastor, you can always get Jesus. I said you could always get Jesus. You can always get Jesus. Amen. Central's never busy. Always on the line. You may talk to heaven anytime. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Will it? I've quit meddling. Philip, amen, he was chosen to wait on tables. That's where he started. That's a good place to start. Good place to start. It's just Brother Ken Gurley. Some of you know Brother Gurley. Pastor's in Pearland, Texas. Great preacher. And Brother Gurley went to his pastor, Brother Kilgore, and he said, Brother Kilgore, he said, I feel like the Lord's called me to preach. He said, is there something I can do in the church? And he handed him a brush to clean commodes. And he said, yes, sir, you can start right here. Oh, that wasn't what I had in mind. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hey, it's all service to the Lord, folks. It's all service to the Lord. Amen. Whatever it is, praise God. Amen. Just whatever your hand finds to do, just do it. Thawed your mind. Do it as unto the Lord. Amen. So Philip waited on tables, and then persecution came, and he went preaching, and he came down to Samaria, and he was preaching Jesus to them. Amen. And my, they started having revival, folks. Praise the Lord. Verse number 12 said, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. It says, and now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now they were having revival. What happened to Philip? I'm glad you ask. Amen. Because the Bible then says, it tells us what happened to Philip. It says, and the angel of the Lord spake to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down to Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, ready, saith the prophet. And the Lord said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Hallelujah. Amen. He left revival in Samaria that was his revival, bless your heart. And God caused him to leave that and go down to the desert to one man. And the guy was riding along in a chariot. He said, get up in there. He got in there, and the guy, he said, what you doing? The man said, I'm reading. In Isaiah, he said, and he was reading the verse about the suffering servant, Isaiah 53. My, what a place to preach. And the Bible said, beginning right there in that 53rd chapter of Isaiah, he preached unto him Jesus. And in just a few minutes, the guy stopped the chariot, and he said, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, I got a feeling he must have preached baptism somewhere. And he must have preached Holy Ghost somewhere. Amen. And so he baptized the men. Hey, I'm talking about a revival. It starts with one person. And it starts with you. Amen. Thank you for your time. Amen. If we're going to have revival, you want to have revival, calls for commitment. Calls for commitment. You have to make up your mind. You can say you're committed to God, but you have to commit to a church. And if I can go one step further, you have to commit to a pastor. You have to commit to leadership. I know when there's a change in leadership, it's very hard. But you have to make a commitment. Some people can't make that commitment. I understand that. Amen. But you hear me today. If you're going to have revival, you have to make a commitment. I read somewhere it said an unstable man or a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Amen. You got to get committed. Got to make your mind. Got to give it with all of your heart. Both feet and both hands. Got to give it all you got. Amen. This is not about a preacher. And this is not about a position. And this is not about a house. And this is not about the past. Amen. This is about revival. This is about the saving of souls. This is about the reaching of a city. Amen. And that's all I'm about. That's all I'm about, folks. Amen. I'm not about anything else. I'm not here to build a legacy. I'm not here to try to do anything to anybody. I'm just here to do everything I can to have revival in Athens, Texas. That's all I care about. That's all I care about. I don't care who gets the credit. I don't care who gets the glory. I don't care whose name is called. It doesn't make any difference to me. All I want to see is revival in Athens. Amen. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. And it only takes one person. It only takes one person. I think it's in Michigan. I'm not sure. I believe it is. There's a church. This is a number of years ago. But in that church, there's one certain man that sits kind of in the center of that building. And all around him, there's more than 200 people that one person, one man, has personally won to the Lord himself. It just takes one. It just takes me. One little lady got under conviction. And she said, Pastor, she said, I want to teach a Sunday school class. And he said, well, sister, she said, oh, right now, he said, all of our classes are, you know, got a teacher. She said, no, you don't understand. I'm not asking for students. She said, I can get the students. All I want is a room. I don't care where it is. Doesn't make it. Just give me a place. Just give me an empty room. She said, I can make the class. I'm not worried about that. I just want to teach a class. I'll get the students. That's how revival starts. Man told his pastor, he said, you know what? I believe I could do a bus route. The pastor said, well, good. Said, we got a van you could use. He said, okay. He, the first Sunday, went out. And he filled up the van two times. And the pastor said, I filled up that van twice. The pastor said, man, let's get you a bus. They happened to have an old school bus. He said, and he filled it up the next Sunday twice. And then the pastor said, well, and the man said, he said, pastor, he said, you know, he said, I believe I could fill up one of them big buses. He said, I'll even rent it if you'll just give me permission. The pastor said, by all means. He got one of those big old buses and he filled it up 2 times. Amen. That one man was responsible for bringing more than 200 children every Sunday to that church. And he was just like you and me. There was nothing special about him. He just decided, I'm going to be a revival. I am going to be a revival. Somebody right here in this church tonight could make up your mind that you are going to be a revival. And if you made up your mind, there's no telling what God will do with you. Would you stand with me tonight? Oh God, help us. Is there anybody here tonight that wants to be a revival? I mean, you want to be a revival. And you understand that you are the revival that God has sent. You are the revival that God has sent. You are the revival that God has sent. It's not something you're waiting on. You are the revival. Would you like to make a commitment tonight to the Lord? God, I want to commit all over again. I want to make a commitment. I want to tell you I'm in. I want to tell this church I'm in. I want to tell Brother Grissom that I'm in. 100%. My mind is made up. I believe that we are the revival that you have sent to Athens, Texas.